Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
We are in the middle of a sermon series called Christian-ish. We started it last week, and just my heart for this sermon series, I'm gonna preach through a New Testament book of the Bible, two of them actually, and they're letters, they're not books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and it's written from a pastor to his church. He starts his church, he leaves, and he finds out 5 years later this church is acting a fool. And so he writes a letter back to them to correct, course correct, because there's a lot of people in this church that he would call Christian-ish. And I challenged you last week. I said there's nothing more dangerous than thinking you're close to God when you're not. So what he does at the end of it, he writes, the Bible says, he says, I write with tears in my eyes. I'm not writing this out of fun. I'm writing because it's wrecking me, because I started this church and I love you. And now I feel like many of you are following a faith that's powerless and pointless. So I said, I write you out of tears. And at the end of the letter, he says, after dealing with all these things we're going to talk about, he says to examine yourself to see if you're actually in the faith. And I said, let's just start there. Before we open up the book, last week, let's not assume something with something that is so important. Let's examine our faith. So I gave you a quiz last week. One of the questions I really landed on is am I following Jesus or am I just believing in Jesus? Because they're different. And so we took this quiz. We answered the question. We had a fun week, awkward kind of. And we're just going to continue that theme today. Can we do that? And what I want to do is I want to go back to the beginning of the book. And I want to begin to show you some of the areas that Paul is going to speak to us about where they're being Christian-ish. We're going to spend our time in the first four chapters of the book. I just want to give you a little advertisement. Next week, you don't want to miss. If you like awkward Sundays, next week's your week. Paul's going to deal with the marriages, the sexual orientations, the sexual promiscuity, the relation, like he's going to deal with that part. Like it's like a Jerry Springer episode, I'm kid you not, in this book, and we're going to deal with it. It's going to be fun. I might spend 2 weeks in it and just talk to the single people first and the married people second. You want to do that? What's up? Okay, it's one of you, right? He's single, obviously. Anybody else single, we'll make it happen. I know him, he's a great dude. And so, one of you, amen. And so we're going to spend 2 weeks there. But today I want to talk to you through the first four chapters. Here's my question to you. And you're going to, this is maybe a trick question. Everybody's gotten it wrong so far. Maybe just gave you the answer to it. Can you do this without Jesus? Some of you confidently said no. Others of you quietly shook your head, yes. Can you do this Sundays without Jesus? I want you to think about that. Can you sing songs? Can you press buttons on a computer? Can you have talent come up on this stage and play thing? I don't know how they do this, but they play and they sing and it sounds good. Can somebody talk to you for 35 minutes, give you a TED Talk, whatever you want to call it? Can you do children's ministry? Can you give goldfish away? Can you give free t-shirts away? Can you make coffee? Could you do all this and do it without Jesus? I'm going to argue with you. You absolutely can. In fact, I'd say it like this. You can build a platform. You can pack a room. You can preach a message. You can run programs. You can sing songs. You can post clips. You can host conferences. And it still not involve Jesus. Like, anybody ever have a one-year-old birthday party? Can you have that party without the one-year-old? At some point, you roll them out like a monkey, and you put them on a chair, and you're like, eat the cake. Everybody's like, right? And the kid's freaking out or happy according to their personality. And at some point during the 1 o'clock birthday party, you're still there celebrating. That kid's in bed. And nobody's like, I feel bad about this without them. You're like, we don't care, right? It's less work. So the answer is yes, you can have a one-year-old birthday party without the one-year-old being present. So the same thing is true. You can have church without Jesus being present. And this is actually what's happening in this church. Here's how he starts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. He exchanges pleasantries in the beginning. He's like, this is Paul. I love you. You know, he's like, he warms him up. And then he's like, okay, let's go for the jugular. He says, I appeal to you as brothers and sisters in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Here's why he's really concerned. Me too. I pray consistently for unity. I don't need us to be consistently the same. I don't need us to all look the same, but I need all of us to have the same mentality. Our eyes fixed on Jesus, sharing his mission and his message with this world. Amen? That's the goal of Journey Church. We're not all going different ways. We're all different. We're all different backgrounds. We're all different gifts, but we have one goal to tell the world about Jesus. He said, I want you to be unified, but you're not, right? He says, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household. So Chloe is a part of the church. She wrote Paul a letter, and she told on them. And so have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Now, I would just say, this is not the problem. Because some quarrels are good quarrels. Like, you're not always just supposed to, especially in church, you're not always just supposed to keep your mouth shut. Like, in the world right now, in America, there's what they call mainline churches. There's a lot of mainline churches. We're not one of them. And so, and mainline churches just mean the older churches, the older churches. Not necessarily bad, right or wrong, but older churches. Lutheran and Presbyterian and Methodist and all these churches. And I'm a church snob. And so some of you, like, you use E! Entertainment for gossip, or you're into the Kardashians, or you like Love Island, and that's what you read for fun and watch for fun. I like church gossip. That's where I like. I'm weird. And so I follow a few sites, and these sites will post videos of different churches in the world talking about things. And they're very much, in my opinion, off from the full gospel. And there's a time and a place where you have to go, man, this is not. You can believe this if you want. You can have your own opinion, but truth is truth, and you're not right. And that happens in church. You can go through history, and in the history of the church, there's moments church people stand up and go, this is wrong. We're going to fight for the truth. And so it sounds like it's good. You're quarreling. What are you quarreling about? Now, we know these people are immature. Paul tells them that. In 1 Corinthians 3, he says, when I addressed you as people who live by the Spirit, but I wanted to, but now you're still worldly, he says. Mere infants in Christ. He calls them babies, right? I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worthy? He says, I want to give you deeper truth of the gospel, but you're 5 years later, you're still acting like babies. Well, I could preach a whole message on that. There's people that never, like, you ever have a relative never grows up? They're like 75 years old. And you awkwardly laugh at them, right? And you think when somebody gets old, they get mature. You ever meet somebody in church who's been in church their whole life, still acts like a baby? Yeah. It happens all the time. You're like, are you ever going to grow up? Are you ever going to change? Are you ever going to shift in your thinking? Are you going to ever let the Holy Spirit do the work he wants to do in you? So he's saying you're immature in your thinking. And what's happening, we're about to see, is they're involved. So Corinth loves success. They love eloquence. They love people who are famous. They love all those things. You're going to see in a second the things that they're quarreling about because they're so silly. And I was reminded this week. I'm reading anybody, like, I'm like Book of Revelation. I'm like, this is really applicable right now. I should read it, right? And so Revelation, end of the Bible, vision from the apostle John, speaking prophetically to the end of the world. He also spends the first part of the letter writing to seven churches that already exist at that time. One of the churches is called Laodicea. And in Laodicea, they have all the crowds, they have all the candles, but they don't have a lot of Jesus at the time. And so he writes them speaking on Jesus' behalf. And Jesus says it like this. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And so when somebody says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, does that apply they're in or out? So he's saying, you have a church, crowds, candles, all these things are going on, but you've left me on the outside. I'm knocking and I'm trying to get in. So what I want to do is I want to show you how this happens in the church of Corinth. You can do church without Jesus. You can have all this going and be missing the presence of God. And without knowing it, you can be pushing the person out that is the only person that matters in that place. You can do church without Jesus. Let me show you where they struggle with this. And I'm going to let you know, it looks a lot like the American church. A lot. Like, when you read this, you're like, is Paul the pastor of American church? Like, did he know it was going to be like this? And so watch, here's the three times we push Jesus out the church. Number one is this. They're all going to start with P. Three P's that push Jesus out the church. Number one, popularity. We trade the person of Christ for popular personalities. We trade the person of Christ. So if I said to everybody in this room, truthfully, who'd you come here for today? What would you say? Right? Well, you were clapping because you were single earlier, so we don't know who you're coming for. Just playing, my boy. And so, right? I'm here for Jesus. When you put the worship music on in your car, I put this music on for Jesus, right? It's just, this is probably music he wants to listen to, right? It's good. It's loud. Jesus, right? He's the rock of ages. This makes sense. It's Jesus. I listen to this music for Jesus. I go to this Bible study for Jesus, right? I go to the Christian conference for Jesus, right? Like, I'm here for Jesus. That's weird. You also wanted to see who was speaking there, but you're there for Jesus, right? We go to the Christian concert. I love Christian concerts. Christian concerts crack me up. I'm at this Christian concert, and I'm paying the VIP price so I can sit close, but I'm sitting close for Jesus. Bro, you haven't sat close one time in church in 16 years. Like, when the usher tries to seat you close, you give him an attitude, right? But I'm here for Jesus. I'm here for Jesus. And we get this kind of this thing going on. I just started, I don't know why I started thinking about it. 2019. You guys remember when Popeyes brought the chicken sandwich out? You remember that? Like, and they convinced us you had to have one. Like, if you get there, and then anybody go to there during that time and you went there to get one and there was none? People were literally fist fighting over these things. Twitter convinced us we need a Popeye's chicken sandwich, right? TikTok had videos convincing us if you want your life to be complete, you need a Popeye's chicken sandwich. We believe the hype. These sandwiches are better than Christian Chicken, Chick-fil-A's sandwich. And I'm not anti-Popeye's. I actually like their chicken better than Chick-fil-A, right? I'm just telling you. Anybody else with me? Yeah. At least they're open today, right? I mean, Chick-fil-A could open at like 1:30, right? You know what I'm talking about? Church is over. And here's what they led us to believe. I'm just playing, by the way. Don't send me an email. And here's what they got us to believe. Popularity becomes the proof of something being worthwhile. If something's popular, it proves that it's worth something. And we have this in church. Oh, that's a big church. It must be good. Oh, that pastor has a lot of followers. He must know what he's talking about. Oh, that singer packs out arenas. They must know what they're talking. We do it all the time. Oh, that guy is in those movies where he's married and the wife, like, he must know how to be a good husband. He's been married 16 times in real life. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, they wrote a book. They must know, right? They must know how to, because popularity becomes the proof of something having worth, right? And we do this a lot in church, but I think oftentimes it pushes Jesus outside of the church, because I don't know if you know how the Bible describes Jesus. But it doesn't describe him as being super popular. This is just a bonus for you. Isaiah 53, the prophet describes Jesus. And here's his words. He says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, as he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. In other words, if Jesus planted a church in America, most of us wouldn't go. Because in America, oftentimes, just like the church of Corinth, We attach ourselves to popular because popular proves something is worth something. And so Paul deals with it. He's like, I'm going to deal with this right away. And so I'm going to give you lots of Bible today. Can I do that? Amen. And the reason I'm going to give you lots of Bible is because it's the most important thing I ever say. The Bible is the word of God. It has the ability to transform your life if you allow it to take life in you. And so watch what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1. He starts to deal with it. He tells them really clear. Here's the quarrels. Here's what you're quarreling about. He said, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Right? There's a section of you like, I love Paul. Another is like, I hate Paul. He's short. He's ugly. He's been whipped and shipwrecked. I don't like him. His breath stinks, right? I used to like him. He didn't teach enough. He wasn't deep enough. I don't like the Bible translation he uses. I don't like that. So I started following a guy named Apollos, which was this eloquent, you know, big word preacher. We don't know much about him, but we know he was great at what he did. Another says, I follow Cephas, which is Peter. Somebody else says, I guess I'll follow Jesus. To which Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that they were baptized in my name. I love this, but he puts in parentheses, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I can't remember if I baptized anyone else. That's Bible. That's how you know the reality. He's like the humanity. He's writing. He's like, I didn't baptize. Oh, yeah, I did baptize this guy and his other family. I don't want you to, you know, send me a bad review, right? And so, but he's trying to tell them, listen, you're trying to follow people based on popularity, right? You're equating eloquence with power. You think the better the speaker, the greater the spiritual depth. You're idolizing leaders and creating spiritual tribes. Why are you making church about the popularity of a person when it's supposed to be about the person of Christ? I want to remind them, no human leader, no matter how gifted or popular, died for your sins and can be the foundation of your faith, which I want you to remember because I'm so sick of people being like, I'm leaving the church because this person that I put on a platform let me down. And I'm like, that's the problem. You put them on a platform instead of a stool like Jesus. Like Jesus is your foundation. Jesus is the only one that's faithful. Like I've been trying to tell you for a long time, like if you come here and I'm not here and I quit, I've been warning you. But if that ever happens, and the likelihood is pretty high sometimes, and you're like, I'm not going to that church anymore because that he's not there, or that's not there, or that worship leader's not leading, or they're not singing these types of songs, you were never here for Jesus in the first place. He's trying to tell you, stop following popularity more than the person of Christ. Then he reminds him, I love this, watch this, this is amazing. 1 Corinthians 3, I think every... Like, this is something that I go back to often. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I hate the Christian world. Like, I hate when you walk into a Christian bookstore and you see pastors' faces all over everything. I've had people ask me, why isn't your email on the website? Why is your email on the website? Why is your picture on the website? There's a couple reasons. No, number one, I don't want you to bother me. True, right? But the other truthful reason is we did an experiment 20 years ago, and we said, let's see if we keep the main thing, and we keep ourselves nameless if Jesus can be made famous. Because at the end of my life, I'm 45 years old. When I pass this off, this church, if it's good, it's just going to keep going. And I'm going to come back when I'm 95 years old, and I'm going to be like, young whippersnapper, you remember when I, and he's going to be like, I have no idea who you are, old man. And it's not going to be important because if the name of Jesus is still being made famous in this place, then we're succeeding. And so Paul tells him, watch what he says. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, what after all is Apollos? He doesn't even say who. He's like, what is Apollos? And he's like, what is Paul? And he's like, only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each task. He says, I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. But God does it, he says. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, I love this, is, what does that word say? Anything. You're nothing. You're not anything, right? But only God makes things grow. You see, follow the message, not the messenger. You can love people, but you got to lean on Jesus. Let me give you two more. Number two, this one's going to be interesting. Second way we push Jesus out the church, because we love popularity, we start running after the wrong things when it comes to a church, when it comes to a community, when it comes to what we believe. And the second P is polish. We trade the power of the cross for a showy performance. We trade the power, and this is going to be awkward, because look around. We got screens, moving lights, just do whatever they want. Haze, more screens on the side, coffee in the out there, as much goldfish as your kids want in Journey Kids, free t-shirts, picture walls. We got all of these things. You're going to be like, hey, sounds like you're being hypocritical. And I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I think all these things are neutral. I don't think God is opposed to excellence. I don't think he's opposed to structure. You know, I've been around churches before where they're like, we're just going to let the Spirit move. And what they really mean is we plan nothing. You know what I'm talking about? Like the pastor's like, I'm just going to let God's word. You're like, no, you just didn't study this week. And so we study, we organize, we have staff meetings, we plan out moments. Our worship is, you know, this long every week. There's a countdown. We know when that's going to be over. Boom, we have church news. We make fancy announcements. We got all of these walls. My sermon is planned. I don't just come up here and shoot from the hip, right? Like, I'm studied and all those things. But here's what that means. If the Holy Spirit decides to show up and he's like, boom, no wall. Goldfish, gone. Worship team, average. You know what I'm talking about? You're only going to stand on this stage. No lights. All the lights go off. Nothing works, right? Nothing works. And the presence of God still shows up here in a profound way. That is all that we need. If he decides to ruin all of our plans, if the Holy Spirit, I'm over here, and the Holy Spirit's like, you're not singing that song today. And I'd be like, but I love that song. He's like, but I don't. And you're not going to sing that song. And the Holy Spirit's like, you're not going to talk about the things you're going to talk about. And you're not going to share the things you're going to share. And you're like, no, I got it all packaged. I'm ready to go. And the Holy Spirit steps in. The Holy Spirit is always the boss of this place. Amen. And what's happening is not only do they love popularity, but what is most of the time popular in Corinth are the people who are most polished. And you can see that in the American church. Why you go to church there? They just do it for me. I love the music. What do you love about it? It's so good. But does it lead you into the throne room of Christ? I love the kids' ministry. They got they have a mascot there? Trip? And they do stickers? Yeah, but does Trip lead your kids into more of a knowing that there's a God that loves them and wants to use their life? I just love the pastor. He's funny. Yeah, because that's all I got. Outside of the power and presence of God. And I can tell you right now, I'm not funnier than a stand-up comedian. And so I'm not going to be able to impress you that long. We need more than that. That's what Paul is trying to tell the church. He says it in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. He says, listen, we are becoming experts at crafting experiences that move people emotionally but do little to change them spiritually. We're all substance, or an all style, no substance. You ever been somewhere like that? Like 16 years ago, I had my, it was like my 7th anniversary. I don't know what it was. And so, but it was an anniversary for me and my wife, and we didn't have a lot of money. And so at that point, and even to this day, like if we're going out to eat, like we're not, you know how some people go out to eat and they go out to eat. I'm like a Chili's guy. Anybody else? Like if they got 2 for $20, I'm there. 2 straws in our drink, right? Like, let's go. And so, or just give me a bunch of lemons, I'll make lemonade. You know what I'm talking about? And so, like, that's just who we are. Like, I don't typically go out, spend lots of money on eating, because I don't understand. It just, you know, just does that through your body. And so it's like, But this was an anniversary for us. And so I was like, we should go to a fancy restaurant in Philly. So I looked up a bunch of restaurants. I couldn't pronounce them. And I took my wife to this one. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was like this Indian restaurant. It had Indian decor. It was like moody and vibey and dark. And we pulled up and we parked our car. We went into this place. We were like very 26, 27 years old. And it was so moody, like they didn't even have chairs. It was like you were sitting on these like cushions and like eating food. And when they brought the menus, it was one of those menus that had food that you didn't know what it was and no prices. You know what I'm talking about? It was also a restaurant where you had to, like, if you got a main course, that's all you got. So if you wanted an appetizer or a side, you also had to order those. And so we ordered all this food, and then they brought it to us. And when they brought it to us, you ever been somewhere where they bring it, and you're like, where's the rest? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it looks like, you know, when you go to Chili's, it looks like somebody was like, bop, 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 right? That, right? And at a restaurant like this, it looks like they had a, like they were like, it was like art. Like they placed this thing and the waiter carried it out all gently and brought it to me. And we ate it. It wasn't awful food. It just wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot of substance. It was just style. We finished our meal, got the check. I almost had a heart attack. And we left that place. It had all sorts of style, but no substance. So I was still hungry. We got on 422. We're driving down 422. We got by the exit where you get off to go to the King of Prussia Mall. And I remember at the King of Prussia Mall, across from it is a Chili's. So I asked my wife, we were driving. I said, hey, are you still hungry? She said, yes. And I said, you want to go to Chili's? She said, yes. Because at the end of the day, if you give me an option, I want substance, not style. I'll take both. I'll take style and substance. But if I have to decide, I want substance. Like, and the cross don't need to be dressed up. The cross don't need to be made more pretty. The cross, like, my favorite part of the football season last year is when Jalen Hurts was, well, they were like winning games. Everybody was like, you don't throw the ball, you just hand it off, you're just a glorified this. And he had the game where he threw a bunch of passes, and like, and then he sat down at the podium at the end, and he was like, is that what you wanted to see? And what he was basically saying in that interview is, I'll do that, but my personality is I'm just going to do whatever I need to do to win games, because we're in the business of winning games. And so if we have to win games ugly, we're going to win games ugly, right? You can have style, that's called the Cowboys, or you can have substance. If you can get both, great, but if you have to choose. And I want to be a place that is obsessed with the simplicity of the ugliness of the cross of Christ. He bled. He was nailed through his hands. He was spit on. He had his hair ripped out. It was through the ugliness of the cross that we were saved. I put it like this. You don't need to polish the cross to make it powerful. You just need to preach it simply. Only the cross has the power to set people free. Only the cross has the power to change your heart. Only the cross has the power to break an addiction. Only the cross has the power to convince somebody that they're actually loved. But they got addicted to polish and popularity. And then here's what happens then. Number three, the third P is what I call posture. They got addicted to popularity. If it's popular, it has to be worthwhile. I go to this big church. I have this big group of friends. It's good. Lots of people do it. It has to be right, right? And because you get addicted to popularity, you know that what's normally popular, oftentimes in America, is pretty polished. Looks great. Pretty. And because they got addicted to popularity and polish, what set in their life was the wrong posture. Instead of coming to church and humility running rampant in the church. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you can feel humility in a body of believers. You want to sit close. You want to make room. You want to sing. It's not. Oh, you make me sing. You want to sing. You want to give. Like you want to be in the presence of God. You want more of the cross. You want more of the gospel. There's a sense of humility. There's also, I can't believe I get this again. You know what I'm talking about? I can't believe I get to be in God's presence. I can't believe I get to receive his word. I can't believe the Spirit of God is in this place. You have this holy reverence for God. This is humility. And what sets in this place is not humility. It's actually the opposite of humility, because humility is a posture thing. We trade the posture of humility for a platform of pride. Because you follow leaders like this, Even though we're telling you not to. Maybe you didn't know how we were. We're telling you we're not that important. Who are we? He says, we're nothing. We're just preaching Christ and Christ crucified. But because you've elevated us, now you're fighting for a position, a posture that you should never have. You want to be seen. You want people to think you're a big deal. And so Paul is going to remind them. I love this part of the passage. He looks at his church, and I think every once in a while, as a pastor, you need to remind your church, right? And as a person, I need to be reminded. And so Paul writes it like this, and I'm just going to, can I read you a bunch of scripture real fast? Corinthians chapter 1, Corinthians chapter 2, Corinthians chapter 3. He's gonna just hammer this issue. I want you to listen to it. Corinthians 1, he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. Not many were wise. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. He's like, hey man, I gotta remind you something. Y'all, when I came, were a bunch of idiots. That's what he's saying. You didn't come to church and bring a resume, and here's my resume, and God was like, you're in. He's like, you weren't smart, you weren't wise, you weren't of noble birth. A lot of you were despised. A lot of you were left on the curbside, right? People looked at you and go, you're never going to do it. You're never going to be anything. And you came into the presence of God, and Jesus set you free. It's not your work. I mean, think about how you tell your story. Some of you tell your story in your life like somebody who was drowning and saved by a lifeguard, and now you're saved, and you tell everybody about how you saved yourself. Bro, you were drowning. If the lifeguard didn't step in, you would have been screwed. Are you tracking with me? But the lifeguard stepped into your life. So when you tell your story of being saved, you better not talk about yourself. You were drowning. Talk about the lifeguard. Same principle. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm not going to talk about my position. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. That's the posture of humility. He says it again, 1 Corinthians 3. He says, do not deceive yourselves. If you think you're wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so you can actually be smart. Like you think you figured it out, right? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So then, no more boasting about leaders. All things are yours, right? And then he goes on. I already read this. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Just one more. 1 Corinthians 4, he ends this part of his letter. He says, brothers and sisters, I like how he says it. He's buttering them up. He said, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us against the other. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you ever been in church and people like start competing for how much they know? Like I listened to this guy. He taught me this Greek word and I learned this big word. And I started, you ever meet somebody, all of a sudden they start using big words. You're like, sanctification. You're like, what does that mean? I don't know, but I heard it, right? Right? Like big words, like the incarnation of Jesus, which is just the Christmas story, right? And so and use all these big words. He's like, hey, listen. In this church, we're just going to stick to the cross. We're going to fall more and more in love with the fact that God sent his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to stick so close to that message. It's going to become so real in us that it's impossible as we go into our world to not share that message with other people. And that's what we're going to do for the rest of the time that we do church. I'm not trying to get to the deeper things of Jesus. This is the deepest thing about Jesus. And what I found is that many people that I meet, they're like, okay, that's good, but I want to spend the rest of my life figuring out all these things. Meanwhile, your faith is heavenly good, right? But it's earthly, it's powerless. Like it has no effect on this earth. For me, I want as many people that I come in contact with to know about the goodness and the grace of God displayed through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then anyone who calls on him can be saved. And I never want to grow past that point. That's humility. Your posture. So because you're you're in a culture, it's like popularity, polish, lose my posture. And he says, it's not about popularity, it's about Jesus, right? It's not about polish, it's about Jesus. It's not about pride, who's it about? If you leave this place, let me just say this to you. And you leave this place and you're not thinking about Jesus, I'm failing you. If you're thinking about a funny story, if you're thinking about your favorite song, if you're thinking about some person you saw because they're single and you're trying to meet somebody, if you're thinking about whatever you think about, right, and you're not walking away and every Sunday doesn't lead you to a deeper love of the glory of Jesus Christ, then I'm failing you. Because this church is only ever going to be about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Would you bow your heads? And maybe if you're like me, man, there's so many times I make this place not about Jesus. I stress about the details. The little things mess up my day. Maybe the annoyance of a conversation rubs me the wrong way. And it's so easy to take my eyes off of Jesus. So maybe as God has blessed us, maybe as God has grown our church, maybe as God has gathered people that he loves in this room in an increasing way over the last couple years, it's so easy for us to get our eyes fixed on the wrong thing. It's not about being popular. It's not about having a perfect service. It's not about how impressive that we are. It's just Jesus. So maybe all over this house, you would begin, if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you find yourself somewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you would just begin in your own words to tell the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm sorry I've taken my eyes off of you. I'm sorry that I lose focus. I'm sorry that I miss moments to gaze at your wonder and your glory. I'm sorry that we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Lord, we just need you. We need your power. We need your presence. We need your word. We need you. So Lord, would you move in this place? Would it be unmistakable? And as you're there in that moment, maybe as I'm praying, there's another passage in scripture in the Gospels where Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Which implies the same picture as in Revelation when he told the church, I'm knocking. What he's saying is, I'm on the outside, but I'll come in if you let me. I want a relationship with you. I'm not far, I'm not angry, I'm not distant, I'm much closer than you can imagine. And I'm knocking at the door of your heart. And I always try to explain this to people because I remember this moment in my life. It was like a burning in my chest. I did not have all the answers. I did not know what God was going to do with my life. I had no plans of being a pastor, trust me. But I did know that I was done living on my own. I knew that God was real, and I knew that he was drawing me to himself. And I did what the preacher told me to do. I just said yes. And that yes changed my life forever. And at the end of every service that we do, we stop. No matter what we talk about, the main thing is Jesus. And he's here right now. And the Bible says when you lift him up, that he will draw men and women to himself. So I don't know you. I don't know your story. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you brought into this place. But here's what I do know. No matter what that is, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're carrying, Jesus, he's the answer. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets back to God except through him. It's not religion, it's the gospel. I died on the cross for your sins. I paid for them, past, present, and future. I went into a tomb. And the Bible says on the third day that Jesus Christ rose in power. And now it's through him that all people may be saved. For if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So we're going to do that. I need Jesus Christ right now. He's knocking at the door of my heart. Jesus, would you meet me in this room? That's what this place is about. Jesus. Jesus, would you meet me here in this room? Here's what I'm going to pray with you as we close. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to call you out. We're not going to make you come forward. But I want you to remember this day. I want you to go back to this day in your life and go, that's the day that I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Take a little courage. Big step of faith. Jesus, would you come into my life? He's speaking to you right now all over this house. I want to pray with you as we close. If that's you, the Lord's speaking to you right now. I need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ unashamedly. If that's you, would you just begin, slip your hand straight in the air and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus Christ to come into my life right now. I need him to heal me. I need him to forgive me. I see a hand. I see a hand. I see a hand. Yes, I see a hand. I need him to forgive me. I need him to set me free. Come on, is there anybody else? I need Jesus Christ. I see a hand all the way in the back over here. And all over this house, we're a family. No matter if you believe right now, you've been believing for years, you have a relationship with Jesus, or this is your very first time, as an encouragement, would you pray something like this out loud together? Say, Jesus Christ, today I give you my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that because you rose in power, today I'm a brand new person. My sins are forgiven. My heart is restored. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. All over this house, would you shout amen one more time?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.